Good
Can you hear me
morning.
now? I
Yes, I
sound like
can. Good morning.
a Verizon commercial. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? First of all, forget me. So hi, you're hanging out. What's up? How you feeling?
Good morning. Happy to be here, feeling inspired, and thank you for having me on Pop Culture Point of View today.
Okay, well, I hope you come with the point of view. Here's the goods and the bads. Good
Okay.
or bad first. What do you want? I'll give you the good bad first.
Let's do the goods.
We're going to talk about Wendy Williams, so that's going to be great. I won't say no shady moments, but we're going to keep it more about like, dang, can you believe she had a show this long? You know, where will it go, et cetera, et cetera. That's the good, that's the fun. The bad, Sahai, if you will, is that we're for the first time doing it live. So I am a bit of a perfectionist. You know that I'm a Virgo. And so it isn't as if I haven't done live radio or AfterBuzz. I was also a switchboard engineer. But
That's
live
right.
on my own project, I was like, Sai, can we do it? And you made me feel like we could do it. So if we have any errors, blame it
Yes,
on
look,
Sahai.
I'm trying to mute these damn slacks for work right now. But if anybody can do this, you can, and I have 100% belief in you.
Okay, we'll talk about it. Let me talk about you before we talk about the Queen Wendy Williams, and we will be critical too. Of course, we're not just going to be sweet. But I want to talk about you. I got some photos
Ah.
of my dear friend Sai. When you see these photos and you feel your broadcast journey, first of all, explain the three photos and tell me where you're at in your journey, because I know you as a producer, I know you as a co-host, I know you as a dear friend.
Yes.
Where are you at in your broadcast journey? Where have you come from and where do you want to go?
So my background is in television production. As a producer in the field for some of your favorite reality shows like Millionaire Matchmaker and Vivica's Black Magic with Miss Vivica Fox, and back in the day, Kimora Life in the Fab Lane for those Style Network fans. So I started out in the field there and then transitioned into hosting, and I really loved that space. And now I currently work for a very popular streaming service and trying to merge the two, my production experience and my hosting experience together. So I still feel like I'm coming up in the game, but I do have some experience behind me that makes me a little bit more unique than other people.
One of a kind. One of my favorite people to record with. So this is wonderful. Lo and behold, we do have a comment saying good morning. So before we talk about Wendy Williams, we have Rockstar 12 saying good morning. And I don't know how to move that away. Okay.
That's all right. Good
I'm such
morning,
an
Rockstar.
assertive.
Thank you for being
I'm
here
such
with
an
us.
ass Absolutely. I'm an assertive broadcaster, so this is really crazy. I feel very insecure because I'm thinking, who goes on and talks about Wendy Williams but isn't really prepared on the back end? You know what I mean? But I wanted to ask you first, what is it about Wendy that made you or when did she catch your eye? You know what I mean? Like as a radio queen in New York City, when did you start enjoying what she brought to the table? At what stage of your life would you say?
As a kid, honestly, I grew up in New York listening to Wendy Williams with my mom, who was a huge pop culture fan. So we would be driving and listening to Wendy in the car. So I always was used to hearing her on the radio. So then when she moved to Philadelphia, I was like, what happened to Wendy in New York? She's like a New York staple. And then when she got to TV, I was like, wow, I was super excited for her and really happy because it felt like a hometown hero had made it, and it was really exciting to see that. So, yesterday, as soon as we heard, I heard the news, I texted you immediately because I was honestly really, really hurt for her.
You say the word hurt. What was it that makes you say you were hurt for her? You feel like she didn't get a ceremonious exit, or you worry about her downfall, or like where she's at emotionally right now? Is that what it is?
It was more so that Wendy is such a powerhouse and she has done things on her own terms. And it seemed like this announcement of her show ending after so many years, like what, 14 seasons, she didn't get to announce it herself. to us as we're used to getting that information. It was coming from a third party. It was coming from blogs. It was coming from Debmar Mercury. It was coming from Sherry Shepherd, her now replacement in a sense. But that's what was more hurtful to me, because having listened to her so long and being so used to her spilling the tea about other people, I would have loved this tea to come directly from her.
That's very true. The one part that I say I relate to it is that's, you know, I think I started in the radio industry in 2002, Clear Channel Los Angeles as a young, fresh intern. And from that young age, unfortunately, in the broadcast space, that's what we've always known. You can give it up 10 years and make the station so much money. But when the dollars don't make sense, unfortunately, that exit isn't always what it's going to be. I think I visit a little bit more about the exit in a second, and maybe like what we think she's going to do in the future. But what is it about like the talk show that like tickled you, that you were like, oh my gosh? Because were you like me, Sahai? Were you a 6-week sneak peek kind of gal? Because I watched that 6-week sneak peek and felt like our girl Wendy had got the TV show. In fact, so much to a point, Sahai, that I used to think that everyone who got a 6-week sneak peek was going to get a pickup, because you were on that journey. You were like, oh my gosh, you know, this is like and I come from radio, so I'm like, this is the radio gal. And then she had the 6-week sneak peek. It's not going to go anywhere. And it not only went everywhere, but she became a hot topic, you know? So it was like, I always thought that was the way it was going to be, but it's a very, very luxurious thing to even get that opportunity. How do you think she did? And what was like the transition? Were you shocked that she maybe toned it down for TV, or were you just more so like happy for her success?
I was happy for her success. When you look back at those old episodes, Wendy was messier than she is today. So we've honestly seen her evolve. And what was impressive for me was the fact that a Black woman was heading her own talk show by herself. She didn't have a co-host. She didn't have a sidekick. She was on her own, and she was able to hold it down and keep us engaged. She gave us, you know, these cute segments like Hot Topics, Ask Wendy, you know, she gave us the phrase, how you doing? And her show was so lively. I honestly am mad that I didn't get a chance to be in the audience. Fortunately, my mom did, but I mean, now my time is gone. I'll never be able to sit in the audience and feel that cold studio and see her right in front of me in the purple couch. So that, you know, add that to the list of things that hurt.
Yeah, but there's more for her. I mean, we see quite a future. Do you want her to get right back behind the microphone, or do you think it's like take a break? What is it, like your personal feelings with the whole situation?
I think a big lesson that we should learn from this is about the evolution and about always staying on top of your game and evolving with your industry, right? So as media changes, you know, one involved in media has to change as well. And you can always be replaced. I think that's the lesson that we learn here. But Wendy, she's still got that fire. She's still, you know, she's still dipping and doing it. So if she wants to continue to be in the game, I would be happy to have her, because there's nobody like her. I think the death of her mother really hit her hard. She does have some medical issues, and that can take a toll on you physically and mentally. In addition to mentioning a messy divorce, you know, that takes its mm-hmm. toll. So if she needs time to heal emotionally and physically, we will be here for you. And when she's ready to, you know, pop back out, we're here for her too.
I could add a life coach to your to your many things, because you really care about people in a real way. Because there's a lot of people, Sahai, that actually washed her off years ago because they would say that her only claim to fame was being mean. And one thing I always wanted to say, this is my opinion, there is so many dark and mean and messy things and shows that are out right now. Granted, she moved in that space, but please don't ever negate that she was a broadcaster. Like, she was fierce about the way she did what she did. And she did ask those questions in a way that they came out of left field. You didn't know, but she was, you know, the wheels were always turning, you know. So I've always thought it was weird that sometimes people try to equate her to maybe being one of these messy blogs. And it's like, no, she, if she wanted to go a different lane, she could have, but she also owns it to like, she owes it to herself to be, what does she always say? I'm pink and I'm, you know, fluffy. Okay. Like that's who she is. So,
soft and
you know,
pink.
Soft and pink. She's not going to try to be, you know, Barbara Walters. It's not going to happen. She doesn't want to be Oprah, Diane Sawyer, none of them. What interview stuck out? Was the Omarosa interview something that was as close to those old school radio moments? I mean, the class radio moments, of course, Foxy in Philadelphia, of course, the late, great Whitney. I mean, they're harsh to listen to looking back, but mighty, mighty interesting. And you almost didn't know at the time, was she going to be able to take what she was doing so great in radio to TV? And it didn't take long. Omarosa came in, you know, with her own fire. And it was a star is born. You know, the show was born at that time, I think.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we have to admit. We forget that Wendy created this lane for herself. And she embraced the LGBTQIA plus community so much. And let, you know, that community shine on her show. And also as far as women of color and just women in general, she created a lane. So we have to thank her for that. This messy lane that all the blogs are doing on social media now, she helped create that opportunity for them. So people need to really honor her and give her her flowers for that. As far as interviews that stood out, one of the ones that I watched from the old days was when she interviewed Aretha Franklin. And you could see she was actually a fan. And Wendy was in Aretha Franklin's house talking to her. So things like that, where you got to see her be a human being, also were amazing. I really also enjoyed when we had a full circle moment where she interviewed Robin, Whitney Houston's former best friend slash assistant slash lover, because that's someone she used to talk about on the radio as T back in the day. So to see years later, she actually came face to face with Robin, talk to her like a woman, and two girls from New Jersey. I thought that was awesome. I think Robin's from New Jersey, but I thought that was a really smart move, an awesome move, and showed how much growth and the ability to be open to being a hot topic or saying sorry. We got to see her say sorry to many people that she had beef with back in the day as she matured. Like in addition to Robin, she also had beef with Puffy back in the day. I remember hearing that on the radio, but then he came on her show and it was just like, hey, we're both adults. We're both in this business. We both know what we're here to do.
We have room to grow is what you're saying. I mean, she was messy, you know, and yeah, Robin, that's Crawford, right? Robin Crawford, you know, came and said, yeah, we were basically outside the station. We were going to get you like total. We were really ready. But, you know, we can't, she made her being that person, but we have to let people evolve. But she has crossed and she has misstepped. So I don't want to be a fool and not say that there's probably things she said that were just absolutely still just as bad as ever. And it was plenty of reason for people to stop watching the show. But I do think what she says is true. It's not easy to sit in that purple chair day in, day out. Be compelling. I think of that too, and this is another messy thing. I'm not giving a pass to anyone, but these reality TV stars, the messy fans eating corn and they want this junk of content, and then the moment somebody goes too far, there's not really there's no grace, I guess, you know. So I'm glad, because in the world that we live, Wendy didn't need 14 seasons. She didn't even need two. Like, I'm surprised they kept, you know, that fan base kept growing and growing and growing. I think a pivotal moment for her too, if you're asking me, was when she did Dancing with the Stars, knowing damn well she was never going to do good, but it was at such an early stage of her show. And again, we could do a broadcast on Pop Culture POV about radio another time, or her books, right, or whatever. But this one's just about the talk show, because it is, it's an unlikely thing, but anyone who steps into radio doesn't not want that. I could tell you from my own experience, you know, like going and being an intern and making no money at Clear Channel Los Angeles. It's like, you're there because you're like, you ultimately want that. So the fact that she got that and succeeded is like, whoa. What other moments do you think like really kept pushing her to the next level? I think it was that Dancing with the Stars that really had the world like, who is this lady? Dancing with Tony Davolani. And I give her also credit because she was flying back and forth. That's not easy. That's not easy either.
Yeah, she also
LA to New York.
Right. And in that same vein, she also did The Masked Singer. So she wasn't afraid to take risks and do things that would make her look embarrassed at times. You know, she knew how to take it to the chin. Right. Is that what they say? Take a punch to the chin.
Take it on the chin.
I think that's what it is. I think another moment that just stood out to me just was even just yesterday, this announcement that Wendy Williams, after 14 seasons, was being canceled and replaced. That's a moment, you know, that really stood out for me because it was like, wow, it surprised me. I had heard the rumors, but I like to take things from the source. So the fact that, you know, once I saw Sherry Shepherd making that announcement, I was just like, wow. But I think also what allowed Wendy to evolve is the fact that she later became a producer of her own content. She became an actress. She was in a couple of the Think Like a Man movies. You know, did the girl from Jersey who was in radio imagine being an actress? No, I think when these opportunities arose, she took them and jumped in full force. So that speaks to her ability to evolve. I think also what we were seeing when she did have those missteps that you referenced is someone getting older. And excuse me.
Wendy's calling to offer Sahai a new job.
Sorry.
Sahai is Lucher.
My work notifications, I thought I put on do not disturb.
All good. It happens.
I think we got to see someone who was getting a little bit older in the business. So there sometimes was a little bit of a disconnect, right? When there was a young man, she was, you know how your grandparents get older and they just start speaking reckless and saying whatever they want without caring whose feelings they're hurting. That's what I think we were seeing sometimes, but that's what we appreciated about her at times, her just being raw and uncut and giving us her opinion from her point of view. And hello, that's what people do on social media all day. We call it being authentic now. So when do we say being authentic has gone too far? That's the question.
And I think it's interesting now because, you know, I personally as a fan can't stick to the old model only, but I do get shocked when people try to put certain people at the same level, you know? Like, oh, Joe Rogan's way better than Howard ever was. I don't know about that. Algorithmically, yes. Not like Howard was a broadcaster. Like, it's a different thing. Like, I'm always going to stand on the side of, you know, even if you don't like Charlamagne currently, it's like he's radio. So I'm always going to appreciate that navigation. It could, because these are people that specifically cared about this craft so much that just because the words sound like they're words that any old person could say, they're very specific and they sat you for a reason. You think it's easy, but it's not easy. You know, what are your thoughts on the, did you have a comment about that?
I did because, okay. So Charlamagne did what he had to do, but we can also add him to the list of people that Wendy helped put on the map. Right. But do you think Charlamagne, if he came out today and was able to move a little bit faster using social media, he would have? And other people, because I think Charlamagne, he put down his, he did the radio thing to get where he wanted to go. But if he was Charlamagne today and had an opportunity to move through social media, I think he would have taken the social media route just to get to where he wanted to go. What are your thoughts?
That is a tough one. Are you asking would Charlamagne, if he could choose each route, which one would he go? The route of, he was in Philly for a moment and then they had to go back to South Carolina. Like it's a journey. That's a tough one because I think about that a lot myself when I talk to younger broadcasters or whatever you want to call them, you know, influencers, YouTubers, and I'm always very blunt about my, my bitterness, but I always let them know my bitterness becomes from a place like I've been doing this for so long. And, you know, a lot of the younger people, I'm happy that it was away for them, but you rolled out of bed and were able to create something. And with that, that's good for you. But on the long, it's going to be on the side of the unspoken lessons that you get when you're able to go through an air check. An air check, for those that don't know, is when you have, so you take it to a program director, they read you, and you're basically having to stand behind how you did your show. You take their advice, you got to put that all in a blender, and then you got to be happy the next day and do a radio show. That, and you know, all of the radio talent who back in the day, like I'm thinking when I was 21, Sahai, for me to be on the air, I had to work 7 days a week at the radio station in Los Angeles, but because it's LA, they're not going to put you on ever. On Sundays, in the middle of the night, I had to drive 2 hours to Bakersfield Radio. Okay. So on one level, you would think, oh, that's almost as if I'm like jealous of the new breed. But I actually, to your question about Charlamagne, I think he likes that he had to go through all that, because what it'll do to you, it'll like... When he evolves and gets the Comedy Central deal and the Black Effect Network with iHeart, it allows him to know his mind a little bit better, because he's been put to task so many times to get there. Sometimes the faster you go up, the faster you go away. So my thing with him is, I may not think he's the most compelling. I put like an Ebro up to Charlamagne, and I say Ebro's a little bit more talented, a lot more talented actually, but I still think that, huh? Say what now?
That's controversial, because Ebro, having lived in New York, Ebro was one of those people that came into, I forgot the station, I think Hot 97.
He came to Hot, 2003.
Yeah, that was controversial at the time, because he was the program director. So he was behind the scenes, coming in front of the camera, taking jobs from some of the jocks. So when I hear Ebro, I still, you know, he's established himself, but I remember that. So that was a hot take, definitely.
Okay, well, we'll end it with this. If you're asking Ronnie, you don't have to listen to Ronnie. You don't have to care what I do or say. Talent-wise, this is not, now mind you, this is not who has more doors in the industry open that can help you. That's Charlamagne. Who has the Comedy Central deal? That's Charlamagne. Who's on the Stephen Colbert show? That's Charlamagne. That is not what we're talking about. Pound for pound, a conversation, a better show, it's always going to be Ebro. But it has grown, because I wasn't really an Angela Yee fan, and she's growing on me a lot. Okay. As I get older, I really like her. Anyways, that's not who we're talking about. We're talking about the great Wendy.
The shortcut or the long cut, which route do you think he would take? That just hit me with that.
The radio route, the blood, sweat, and tears route, the route where you lose a job and you don't know how you're gonna feed your family, because it's made him good. Even though I just said a lot of negative things compared, he's still top tier talent. He knows what he's doing, and his business is great. I mean, I don't know. what would be your thing? What do you think he would choose? What about Wendy?
I think it's age, right? So Wendy, I think we always heard her champion education. You know, whenever she gives advice, she's like, go to school. You notice whenever she hears someone is in a traditional work field, like medicine or finance, she's like, oh, okay, good for you. So she's a little bit old school in that way, but she did like to always know what was going on in the world, you know, even though she wasn't adaptable sometimes to things like an iPhone and things of that nature. But for Wendy, I think she would have gone the old school route and gone the traditional route. But I feel like Charlamagne would take the fast route just to, at the end of the day, get to where he wanted to
get. Just get the money. I mean, I guess what I was saying was blissful and, you know, like, but just think of all that you got out of it in terms of character. Like, character is only going to get you so far.
You gave us the I had to travel 500 miles story, like, just now. So, you know,
I had to do it. And it's not for me to be a bitter bitch, but I had to do it because I had to put a tease to you, because it's going to be in my book. So the book is coming. So I got to start to start sprinkling, Sahai, if I can. I got to sprinkle you with a little something. With that being said, I think I just kind of fired off a lot of information. Let me go to a commercial for 1 second to let you just know how I give it up. Who does he think he is? I only had to do that because I feel like I left some really strong opinions, and I feel like, you know, the 22-year-old with the taut skin, they're gonna be like, what is this dusty dummy talking about? So I gotta set the reminder.
No, not at all.
The resume's thick. Sweetie pie.
It's long the way it should be, okay? But no, there's an opportunity for everyone. We see, you know, so many people, even the greats like Oprah, and, you know, they were no spring chickens when they started all the time. You know, they some people got into this game late, and but it's where they are now that counts. And I think, you know, even like with the Tabitha, what's her name? And That's My Biz.
Yes. Mm-hmm,
Tabitha mm-hmm. Brown, I think is it? I'm over so here too. Making a
yeah.
I apologize, but
you know, her too. You know, both of them. The weird thing is you're taking me to task in a way, kind of, because it's really just stating that there's room for everybody. And that is why I'm blessed to have the people that I work with. Sahai will always hold me accountable, always do the best job that I can do. And then when we have a text message conversation and we're like, hey, do we want to talk about Wendy Williams? Let's do it. But do we want to spend too much time in the negative? Maybe that's like for a documentary. Really, this is just more like, can you actually believe she did it? So whatever happens now and whatever the new report comes out, because it's a new one every 4 seconds, it's more just like, wow, this broadcast talent really took a show that no one would thought would be on television, maybe like cable. You know, it was on VH1 at first, you know, the Wendy Experiment, I think it was called, but never a real daytime talk show. I mean, it's crazy. It's really, really crazy. But it's a testament to you doing what you do, and you let the industry follow. Do you think she was the one who broke the mold on the title broadcast, or do you also put Miss Jones in there with somebody who came in strong? I know there's the issues or the reconciliation or whatever the case. What do you think about other women who have the same broadcast style or had at that time?
I mean, back then, she had to start, Wendy had to start from scratch as far as transitioning from radio to TV. But yeah, I'm sure they, you know, people pick up a little bit from each other, right? But look at today, look at Kelly Clarkson's show, look at Drew Barrymore. You know, we'll see what Sherry's show looks like. Look at Nick Cannon's show.
I cannot look at the Drew Barrymore show. It's just the most unpleasant watch I've ever seen, and I keep asking everybody how she gets a second season. Somebody please explain it to me, because I'm confused.
You know, a lot of times it's a popularity contest. Drew is a Hollywood legend, you know, so she brings along with her comes a lot of talent. But as far as formatting of their shows, and as far as people being able to watch a show with just a woman and no co-host, like say a Johnny Carson had a co-host, you know, I think Wendy definitely had a big part of that. Also just bringing her perspective on pop culture to it, and changing the formatting of what we know of a talk show to be, we have to give her flowers. And that's what I really wanted to do today. And thank you for this opportunity to really say thank you to Wendy. I have been a long standing fan, and hope that whatever happens in the future, it's something that you want to do, and it's on your own terms.
I think that's very well said. And what's exciting about this time, Totally different kind of broadcaster, but just in general, back when there was like the Chelsea Handler show, and when it ended, it seemed like, what a void. I feel like in some ways that same void is happening now. But the only great thing about that is that opens it up for, you know, when the Chelsea Handler show was happening, it was like there was no such thing as an Andy Cohen, you know, and then he swooped in, and then Wendy's show, you know, grew. Hardest thing about shows ending is that you're so used to it and it's part of your conversation. You know, radio used to always do that to me as a kid. I didn't grow up in New York, but I grew up listening to LA radio, you know, The Beat, Power, Kiss, like those stations really did that for me. And when they ended, you're just like, wait, the person on the air, they didn't get to say goodbye. And you do feel like, what a new era. But, you know, with the new era, the Queen Sahai steps in, and I want all of your broadcast success to come, because you definitely deserve it. Wendy's a fun watch. I loved the little knickknacks that she had. I that she loved Guadalupe. We know who Guadalupe is. Jennifer Lopez's yes. mother. Okay.
The Queen, yes.
And it was just really, really fun. Last thoughts on Wendy, and if you ever interviewed her, Sahai, what would be like some of the questions you would ask her?
If I ever interviewed Wendy, I would ask her who her favorite guest was, and is there someone that she always wanted to interview that she didn't? And who didn't come on the show that she wanted to have, but they like refused? Because wasn't there an issue, I think, with Bobby Brown or some celebrities were
probably
afraid
more
to
than
come
one,
on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wondered, I would love to know who was afraid to come on her show, but that she always wanted, but never did. So I'm really excited for this next chapter. You know, in the blogs and on social media, the kids are saying they want her to do a podcast. And I think these are some of the people that were criticizing her. And I think she, you know, we all, those of us who grew up with her, feel like, okay, this can't be the end for Wendy. And I have a feeling it is not. She's still got some dipping and doing to do.
It's Wendy, man. Wendy can do, she can take 3 years off and she could come back. I asked you the question, so then it came to my mind too, and what the show here. My questions for her, if Wendy ever did an interview with the great Ronnie Jr., would be simply, with the respect and the privacy that is deserved, what other fun facts or exchanges or experience did you get when you spent time with Prince and Andre Leontelli? Because now that they're both not here, there's so many people that, you know, pass on, such a gift to the art world, but those two and them having such a connection with her, really, that really did it for me. So I would kind of be like, with the respect of privacy, give us just a little bit more about like Wendy, were you nervous? You know, you're a success, but you probably were a little nervous. Like, those would be my first two questions. She was fantastic. Oh, go ahead.
I have one more thing. I would want to know what rumor or what tea did she spill back in the day that people didn't believe that ended up being true now? Because she was dropping some hints about things and people were like, no, she's lying. And then fast forward, we see it's true. So I wonder what tea did she spill in the past that ended up being true that she can be like, see, I told you so. That was
not
that
a high. See, look, if she wants to go. She wants to go and retire and be in Florida and just relax. And see, when you ask those questions, she probably wants to clarify. No, it's good. Something SiriusXM, a weekly once a week interview with other great talent. That's the thing. Any last things you need to promote or just talk about in general, or you're good to go? Let me put up the photos again. Of my
Thank
dear
you for
co-host.
The opportunity. Thank you. I do have an interview I'll be posting soon. I have to wait till the movie attached to it airs. But I did an interview with a celebrity actor, director, producer, writer that I'll be posting soon. So stay tuned for that.
Okay. Well, that wraps up our show. This was just about talking about Wendy Williams, not necessarily any of the negative stuff. You've seen the documentary, you've seen the movie. This was just like, wow, this radio gal really had a talk show. For all those years, we loved it. New era gives everyone a shot to jump in. Could be another great YouTube series that comes out. It could be another Sherry Shepherd that, you know, creates her own lane. Nick Cannon, it doesn't matter. Wendy Wendy deserves her flowers, and she got them because she was a walk on the Hall of Fame, you know, the Hollywood Walk of Fame. So people have given her credibility, and it sucks that it's the end, but I guess we could still say, how you doing? Sahai, that wraps it up. How you doing, Sahai? Sahai Wilson, she's fantastic. Her Instagram is Say Hi Sahai, and the same with the website. So support her. If you want to support this channel, it's patreon.com/randomlyronniejr. This was our first live episode. Okay, gotta go. Bye.